Warning: this podcast contains foul language, sexual situations, and discussions of drugs and drinking. Yeah.
Welcome to Fuck Shakespeare. All the naughty bits exposed. Our goal is to open your eyes to all the inside info that makes reading Shakespeare way more fun. Any episode might contain dick jokes.
Or essay ideas.
Or anything in between. So listen up.
Fuck the shit. So, even before I say hello, I'm going to tell you I am in the midst of a huge allergy attack. I am medicated, but it's doing shit all. So, I sound like doo-doo, and I'm medicated out of my brain, and I
might sneeze horribly.
Oh, yeah. Sneezing. Got it. Well, we can try the grapefruit thing and see if it works.
Grapefruit. Yay.
So I'm Erin.
And I'm Diana. And I'm okay. And I used to have terrible allergies when I was a kid, but I don't seem to. They're not so bad.
I don't know. I must have walked through a lot of my neighbor's mowed yesterday.
Yeah.
And it happened when I went to walk the dogs this morning, and I've just been like this ever since then.
Ugh.
I can't, like, the inside of my nose just gets, like, super, like, crawly.
Ugh.
You know, it's a horrible, 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 horrible.
Yikes.
I feel like in my eyes, I...
Ah.
Yeah.
But I have bread dough rising, so I need to get in and get out.
Oh, today. We'll be fast. We'll be fast. Okay.
So exciting.
Here we are, Lear 6.
Yay. Down, Wantons, down. So Lear comes and finds Kent in the stocks,
uh-huh.
And then there's a whole fallout with Regan and Cornwall as to, what the fuck? Who did this?
Don't you remember that he represents me?
Me?
The
king? Erin's going to read Lear today, even with her snotsicles.
Yes.
But this is where I wonder if Kent has recognized, I mean, if Lear has recognized Kent. And he's like, fuck it, I need some allies, I don't care. You know, because they do have this very familiar argument with calling up the gods that they did in the first scene, too. So it's like, well, maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he needs him.
Or, because we know that the madness has already, whatever the madness is, has already begun. So maybe in part of his brain he recognizes Kent, but in another part of his brain he doesn't, and depending on what's going on, whether he's really present as Lear or present as who Lear is becoming, it depends whether he, over-medicated,
right.
Yeah, whether he recognizes or not.
No.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just that that's low on his list of things to deal with right
yeah.
now, you know, too. So.
That might be an interesting little essay idea.
Yeah.
Why, especially in this scene, how Lear interacts with the Fool and the Fool interacts with Lear, and how Kent interacts with Lear and Lear interacts with Kent. Like, is this madness that's causing Lear to do the things he does in this scene? Or is it, do you think that it's a choice that he's making?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do recognize Kent, but I need the ally. I don't need the Fool.
I don't need the Fool. Yeah, he's starting to sort of discount the Fool. He's not really, their interactions are not useful anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not. And the Fool is growing very impotent in the same way that Lear is. So it's like a mirroring.
Mm-hmm.
But the Fool's job, as we keep saying, is to speak truth to power. And that's not working.
And is that because Lear is now incapable of hearing the truth? Or is it that he's choosing not to hear the truth? Or is it that
that maybe the truth is so fucking staggering. Like, he's like, no, impossible. Because that can't be.
So this is an interesting little essay idea.
He's still hugely in denial, I think.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
absolutely.
Hugely.
Right, he still thinks he's king, but he's not.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's really interesting by the end of this scene how the other characters are calling him the old man.
Yes.
And Gloucester still calls him the king.
Yes.
Yeah, but the old man is basically what he is now. One of a couple.
Yeah, right.
So how, we're going to find out a little bit more too in this scene, as Erin was saying, how his illness is affecting him. he talks a lot about his heart cracking, his heart breaking in this scene. And yes, that's emotional, but might he also be having some angina, some like, you know, some
AFib.
Needing it, like minor strokes or something, you know?
Yeah.
He's aware that he's losing his mind. He's getting these glimmers of, please don't let me go crazy. Please don't. You know, we heard it in the end of Act 1, Scene 5, I think. Mm-hmm. So that's a tough, awful place to be in, is to have those glimmers of awareness and not feel like, I don't know what to do about it.
Yeah, I can't even hold on to that.
Yeah, yeah. And then he's got this huge interaction with his middle child, and it doesn't go well.
'Cause Regan's so loving.
Oh, so sweet. So charming. He thinks she's the gentle one.
It's so funny.
Oh, my God.
It just shows you he has no idea who his children are.
Yeah. And so his only recourse is to say, well, you know what? That wasn't my sperm that made this one. And it also wasn't my sperm that made that older one. But previously in scene one, he said it wasn't my sperm that made the younger one either. Mm-hmm. So what? He's shooting blanks and his courtiers are filling in for him.
He's not thinking. It's not like he's thinking. He's just thinking.
Impossible.
Impossible. No. Right? That's as far as his brain is going. How those daughters came to be is not occurring. It's just not possible that they could possibly be related to his majestical wonderfulness.
Yes. And then if you haven't heard us in the other plays, we do like to revisit some really important concepts time and again, a couple of times, you know, throughout our podcasting, because there's good things to keep in mind and remember. And one of them is Shakespeare's oh.
Oh, I am slain.
Yes. Oh, for a muse of fire. Yeah. when Shakespeare has just the letter O, it's not a mistake for O-H, like, oh. No, it's a total release of emotion. Whatever emotion that might be that you're in the middle of as the actor, as the character.
And this might be a good sort of, if you need to do a longer paper that's about Shakespeare and not a particular play.
Yeah.
You could talk about Shakespeare's long vowels and what, you know, and the release of emotion and how that moves the play along, whatever play you're talking about.
Yeah. Because we definitely have also E. Mm-hmm. Lots of it at the end here. And we have talked about keening.
Yes.
And about how that, you know, sense of huge grief comes through in those long E sounds that we absolutely get in these speeches. And you'll hear Lear at the end of this scene in a huge speech with so many E's. Reason, not the need. But O is a great place to notice when those characters expel those emotions and what is that? Can you identify it? Is it grief? Is it amazement? Is it love? What is it?
Fear.
Right? And then just fully put it all onto that one little letter and see what happens. Okay? All right. Shall we? Act 2, Scene 4. And as we discussed in the last episode, this may or may not, in a different version, be part of last scene.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, and I'm reading Lear today in my schnoddiness.
Schnoddiness.
Okay, so here we go. Here he comes. 'Tis strange that they should so depart from home and not send back my messenger.
Random gentleman. As I learned the night before, there was no purpose in them of this remove.
Kent. I'm Kent too, right?
Oh, yes, you are.
I am Kent in this scene. Hail to thee, noble master! And Lear. Makest thou this shame thy pastime?
Fool. Ha ha! He wears cruel garters. That's the stock. So cruel is also cruel as woolen, which is funny. But look at him with his stupid-looking stockings on. Horses are tied by the heads, dogs and bears by the neck, monkeys by the loins, and men by the legs. When a man's over-lusty at legs, Then he wears wooden nether stocks.
Very clever.
Yeah. So he's talking about all the different ways that animals are constrained. And then when a man's over lusty, when he's a little too, you know, sexually inspired between his legs, then they put him here. But nether stocks is little stockings that come up only to the knee. Usually gentlemen wore stockings that came up to their thigh so that their pants would cover it and not see that bit of flesh. Scandalous!
These are like athletic knee socks.
Yeah, yeah. And so he's like, he's got the stupid kind of stockings on.
And King Lear. What's he that hath so much thy place mistook to set thee here?
It is both he
no,
and...
I'm Kent.
Oh, shit.
It's going to be fun. I'm sharing lines with myself.
Yeah.
And Kent comes right in. It is both he and she, your son and daughter, King Lear. No. Kent. Yes, King Lear. No, I say. Kent. I say yea. King Lear. No. No, they would not. Kent. Yes, they have. King Lear. By Jupiter, I swear no. Kent. By Juno, I swear I.
There's an exchange, boy. Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah.
No. Yes. No, I say yes. I say yes. Right? Just like, uh-uh.
No, yes. No, yes. Yes. No, duh. Yes. No, duh. Yes.
Really fun one to kind of lobby back and forth.
Yeah.
And then we've got those gods, just like they did in the first scene. By Apollo, by Jupiter. This time by Jupiter, we have the king of the gods. And then by Juno, the queen of the gods, who's much bitchier and always gets her way.
Yeah. But also, I think it's interesting when you think about it. Like, as I'm reading it, I'm thinking... They fall into this volley easily.
Yeah.
You know? And
it's their thing.
And I think that maybe Lear, he may not even recognize it as it's happening, but that he might hear after, like, he might be like, on his next line, when they've stopped the volley, he might look at Kent and be like...
Wait a minute.
Or holy crow, or, oh, thank God it's you. It, like, there are lots of...
Yeah, so many choices, which could be really fun.
Yeah.
But then he cuts him off, too.
Yeah,
they durst not do it. He's like, no,
no. No, no, right. So by Juno, I swear, I and King Lear, they durst not do it. They could not, would not do it. 'Tis worse than murder to do upon respect such violent outrage. Resolve me with all modest haste which way thou mightst resolve me with all modest haste which way thou mightst deserve or they impose this usage coming from us king us royal we.
Yeah, us royal we. So this is emphasizing that thing that we told you about how messengers are supposed to be received. He said it's worse than murder to do this to a messenger that represents me. Respect, meaning my respected person. Resolve me just means explain this shit.
And do it fast.
Yeah.
And then they have another shared line. Kent says, my lord, when at their home, ere I was risen from the place that showed my duty kneeling, came there a reeking post, stewed in his haste, half breathless, panting forth from Goneril, his mistress, salutations, delivered letters, spite of intermission. You want to stop there?
Which presently they read. Yeah. So he's describing to him. And
Oswald's arrival.
Well, and the fact that Kent actually went to Regan's house first, and Oswald came in just as Kent had kneeled down.
Yeah.
He said, I've kneeled to show my respect.
Right.
I was respectfully delivering the message that you gave me. There
and
came a reeking post.
This sweaty, stinky, breathless...
panting. Obviously, he like run like the Dickens to get there and from Goneril. And spite of intermission, he put his letters in front of them, despite the fact that he had interrupted me.
Right.
I was there first.
And they read his letters before they read mine.
Yeah, and then things didn't go well.
On those contents, they summoned up their...
Miney. Like their retinue, their men, their peoples.
Their miney. Well, so you could call your friends your miney.
He's my meanies.
You don't have to call them your posse. You can call
my
them
peeps.
Your miney.
My meanies.
Okay. And on those contents, they summoned up their miney, straight took horse, commanded me to follow, and attended the leisure of their answer, gave me cold looks, and meeting here the other messenger, whose welcome I perceived had poisoned mine, being the very fellow which of late displayed so saucily against your highness, having more man than wit about me, drew.
Yeah. So I was supposed to follow them. They said, we've got to go somewhere. We're leaving. Just come with us. But they were not so nice.
They gave me cold looks,
right? And then when they had all gone inside and me and this dude were still outside, this is what happened. Because obviously his letters made mine look bad.
And so he displayed...
And he's the same dude.
Right. He mouthed off to you at Goneril's.
Yeah.
And so I was angry.
Already.
So I had having more man than wit about me. So being more man than, you know, conscious
smart
of
guy.
Right what I should be doing, I drew my sword on him.
Yeah.
He raised the house with loud and coward cries. Your son and daughter found this trespass worth the shame which here it suffers.
Yeah.
So in other words, he screamed and yelled because he was afraid. And then Regan and Cornwall came out, and they were like, oh, no, 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 no. And they put him in the stocks.
And then the fool. Winter's not gone yet, if the wild geese fly that way. So the fool is like, oh, wow, if that's true, then things are only getting worse. Mm-hmm. But winter, reference to winter, and then he goes into the song, Lear is in the winter of his life, and winter is when things look bleak, and so the winter of his life is really starting to look a little bleak now. Fathers that wear rags do make their children blind, but fathers that bear bags shall see their children kind. Fortune, that errant whore, ne'er turns her key to the poor. So, fathers that wear rags make their children blind... We've got some hints about upcoming situations.
Eyes.
They make their children maybe unable to see that there are better things in the world because that's all their children know. But fathers that bear bags of money, well, you know, as long as they have money, their kids will be good to them. But fortune that errant whore, errant is wayward. Fortune is a whore because she doesn't bring luck or she doesn't open the door to the poor people. She only opens the door to the rich people. And then he makes a pun on money here. But for all this, thou shalt have as many dolors for thy daughters as thou canst tell in a year.
Dolors, not dollars. Dolors are like Dolores.
Sadnesses, yeah. Right? Sorrows. And it's a pun on dollar. Because you had money and now you don't have money. You're going to get sorrow, just like the poor.
And Lear says, oh, how this mother swells up toward my heart. Hysterica Passio, down thy climbing sorrow, thy elements below. I have no idea what any of that means.
Yeah, it's really obscure references here. So, mother... Really interesting. Well, we've got the juxtaposition of mother and daughter at the end. Where is this daughter? Which I find is wonderful. Parentheses there, bracket. But mother was one word for the womb. And hysterica, as we have talked about, hysteria Hysterica passio is this like suffocating passion, i.e. hysteria, that comes from the womb and works its way up into your body and chokes you and makes you, you know, not behave like yourself because you're suffocating and you're freaking out.
Oh, so he's saying it in his own, so it's coming up for him and he's like, no, go back down where you belong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your element, that element's below, the place from whence you come, the womb is below. He doesn't have a womb, but, you know, he's saying, pushing it down.
Right.
And then he's like, where?
Yeah, where is this daughter? And Kent, with the Earl, sir, here within. And Lear, follow me not, stay here. As if Kent could follow him, he's in the stocks.
Well, he means the fool or and the gentleman
that came
with him. I know,
but it's kind of funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The fool and the knight that came with him. And the knight turns to Kent. Made you no more offense but what you speak of?
Kent, none. How chance the king comes with so small a train?
Fool. And thou hadst been set in the stocks for that question. Thou hadst well deserved it.
Kent. Why, fool?
We'll set thee to school to an ant, to teach thee there's no laboring in the winter. So here we are again
winter.
With the winter theme. And you know the story about the ant and the grasshopper, right? The ant who sets up their food stores all summer long and is so wise to know to prepare for bad situations.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, yeah, you need to go and learn a few lessons, my friend, in what to look for in things coming your way that are not going to be so good. All that follow their noses are led by their eyes, but blind men. And there's not a nose among 20 but can smell him that's stinking.
What? Well, eyes and blind again, but yeah. Like, all follow their noses.
Except for blind
except
men.
Except for, no. Opposite. All that follow their noses are led by their eyes, but blind men, because blind men can't use their eyes.
So they smell it. But he's like, but anyone with a nose can smell a guy that's rotting, and
mm-hmm.
that's this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Lear is rotting. He's disintegrating before our very eyes. His power, his everything. And then he has this incredible parable. Let go thy hold when a great wheel runs down a hill, lest it break thy neck with following. But the great one that goes up the hill, let him draw thee after. When a wise man gives thee better counsel, give me mine again. I would have none but knaves follow it, since a fool gives it. So we have the image of if a wheel is running downhill, don't hold on to it. It's going to kill you. But if it's strong, like, you know, the king, you can follow if he's pulling uphill. Go ahead, let him pull you. But now he's going downhill. Don't follow him now. And he's like, yeah, if you get a better idea from somebody smarter, go ahead, give me this idea back. But, you know. And then this incredible poem. That sir which serves and seeks for gain and follows but for form will pack when it begins to rain and leave thee in the storm. Ding, mm-hmm. ding, ding.
That's a word.
That's a big hedge up.
Yep.
But I will tarry, the fool will stay, and let the wise man fly. The knave turns fool that runs away. The fool no knave, perdie. So the person who follows you who's just looking to get paid is going to boogie on out of there when the going gets rough, when the storm comes. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to stay, you know, because I'm a fool. And, you know, let those smart people leave. The knave turns fool. The servant is going to be an idiot when he runs away because he's not, you know, respectable anymore. And the fool is not a knave. The fool is not a rascal. Perdu is just from the French pardieu, by God.
By God!
By God, I am no fool. I am no knave, rather.
Kent. Where learned you this, fool?
Not in the stocks, fool. I love that.
And Lear comes back in. Deny to speak with me? They are sick. They are weary. They have traveled all night. Mere fetches. The images of revolt and flying off. Fetch me a better answer.
Gloucester. My dear lord, you know the fiery quality of the duke. How unremovable and fixed he is in his own course.
Vengeance, plague, death, confusion, fiery? What quality? Why, Gloucester, I'd speak with the Duke of Cornwall and his wife.
Well, my good lord, I have informed them so.
Informed them? Dost thou understand me, man?
Aye, my good lord.
The king would speak with Cornwall. The dear father would speak with his daughter. Speak commands, tends service. Yes. Are they informed of this?
Sorry, so he actually, he's getting to this pinnacle. Like, I command her to come here, and then tens is a backing off. Tens means I await her. So he's, like, going to this precipice and then backs off.
Oh, I see. Would with his daughter speak commands, tens service.
Yeah, like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So Gloucester's like, I told them, but he's a little scary, if you didn't know.
And Mir's like, you think he's scary.
Yeah, I'm gonna fucking be scary. Right, just have to go back. Mir fetches is devious excuses, so he already knows that this is bullshit. Mm-hmm. The images of revolt and flying off, this is exactly what somebody would do if they are in a revolution, right? They're gonna run away from their house, and they're plotting something. So he knows it in his brain, and he's just not willing to see the whole picture yet.
Yeah.
My breath and blood. Fiery! The fiery Duke! Tell the hot Duke that... No, but not yet. Maybe he is not well. Infirmity doth still neglect all office whereto our health is bound. See? Mm-hmm. That's where he's starting to say he knows he's sick, too. I mean, he's talking about Cornwall, but he's actually talking about himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's going to this place, and then he's backing up, and then he's thinking, you know, okay, all right, maybe he's sick. Maybe he doesn't feel well. Maybe that's why he's treating me this way. Yeah.
We are not ourselves when nature, being oppressed, commands the mind to suffer with the body.
That could definitely be a reflexive statement,
right? I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really looking at himself, too.
I'll forbear, and am fallen out with my more headier will to take the indisposed and sickly fit for the sound man.
So to take, to mistake. So I'm fallen out, meaning I regret my rash impulse to mistake these actions as the actions of a person who knows better because they're fine. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he doesn't feel well. Mm-hmm. And but then he looks back at Kent in the stock and he's like, no fucking way!
Well, and I think this might be a moment where he sees Kent as Kent and not his servant.
Right, which would make much worse to stock Kent, who's a nobleman. Like, no fucking way.
Death on my state! Wherefore should he sit here? This act persuades me that this remotion of the Duke and her is practice only.
Oh, isn't that amazing? Her. Mm-hmm. Doesn't even say her name.
Nope.
Remotion means relocation from their house, like removing, moving again. Death on my state. Oh, my. That's a curse, but it's an ironic curse.
Yes,
because
it is.
May death come to my authority.
Yeah, it already
this
has.
This is true.
It already has.
It already has. And, okay, it's practice only. So this is some bullshit right here.
Yeah.
Give me my servant. Servant. Give me my servant forth.
Get Kent out of
his
stocks.
Yeah, Kent out.
Yeah.
Now.
Go tell the Duke and his wife I'd speak with them now, presently. Bid them come forth and hear me. Or at their chamber door, I'll beat the drum till it cries sleep to death.
I would have all well betwixt you. And Oster's like, oh, I wish everything was okay. Yeah. And he goes running out.
This just made me think of Macbeth. But whatever.
Their chamber door, beat the drum,
mm-hmm. Till it cries sleep to death.
But notice her, Duke and his wife.
Mm-hmm. It's not saying her name.
No, I can't even believe it. I can't even believe that you would treat me like this.
It's kind of a mirror of what Oswald did to Lear. No, you're my lady's father.
Yeah.
Kind of the same.
You're my Duke's wife.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Me. My heart. My rising heart. But down.
Yeah, here's where I feel like he really is feeling this physically.
Yeah.
It's not just emotion.
It hurts.
Yeah, it hurts. And then the fool tries to make light of it. Cry to it, Nuncle, as the Cockney did to the eels when she put them in the paste alive. She napped him on the coxcombs with a stick and cried, down, wantons, down! 'Twas her brother that in pure kindness to his horse buttered his hay.
Buttered his hay?
So he's bringing up examples of idiots that are doing stupid things. So this woman who put the eels into her pie alive and then had to beat them on the head because they were trying to slither out. Down, wantons, down.
Well, right, okay. So, like, we're talking eels or penile members.
Penises.
Penises.
Eels are always penises.
Yes,
down. Unless they're eels.
Go down, penis, down.
Down, penises, down. Down, penis eyes, down.
Penis eyes.
So obviously this woman wasn't just a Cockney, she was also a whore of some kind.
Oh, Cockney. I didn't even get that until you just said
cockney.
It. Cockney.
Mm-hmm. And then her brother, in pure kindness, buttered his horse's hay.
I don't understand that at all.
It's just stupid. You don't butter the hay for horses. Horses won't eat hay with butter on it. It's just dumb. So he's bringing up examples of dumb people because he's like, if you think that being able to reason with Regan is something you could do, then you're dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here they come.
Here they come.
Lear. Good morrow to you both, Cornwall. Hail to your grace.
Regan. I am glad to see your highness.
Regan, I think you are. I know what reason I have to think so. If thou shouldst not be glad, I would divorce me from thy mother's tomb, sepulchering an adulteress.
Yeah.
If you're not nice to me, then you're none of mine.
You're not mine, and I will even divorce your mother's grave.
Right.
Because she was an adulteress.
Right.
And you're not my child. And then, oh, are you free? It is to Kent.
Yeah. Right? Oh, are you free?
Yeah. So somebody set Kent free as soon as they came in.
There's some other time for that.
Oh, yeah. My big argument. And now I'll think about it later.
Yeah. Beloved Regan, thy sister's not. Oh, Regan, she hath tied sharp-toothed unkindness like a vulture here.
Yeah.
Prometheus, right?
Yeah. There's that myth about Prometheus who Zeus set a vulture next to his liver who ate it out
for eternity.
Yep, every night, and then it regrew every day.
That's for he did that for stealing fire from the gods.
Yep, yeah. So in a way, Lear is making a connection between himself and Prometheus. I gave you fire, right? I gave you the best thing ever, all my stuff, and you're eating my heart away. Mm. Yeah, so it's a great reference using a very powerful myth.
Right. I can scarce speak to thee. Thou'lt not believe how depraved a quality. Oh, Regan!
I pray you, sir, take patience. I have hope you less know how to value her desert than she to scant her duty.
All right, wait a minute. What
is
she saying?
I think your judgment of her value is less accurate than her duty. I'm sure that's not true.
Than her duty to you and to how she treated you.
Okay. I'm sure that's not true.
And they have a shared line.
Yeah.
Say, how is that?
I cannot think my sister in the least would fail her obligation. If, sir, perchance she have restrained the riots of your followers, 'tis on such ground and to such wholesome end as clears her from all blame.
My curse is on her.
Oh, sir, you are old. Whoa. Just shuts him down. You're old, shut up. So, you know, she's saying if she's done what she's done, she has very fucking good reason for it, and nobody could blame her. Lear starts to curse her, and Regan's like, no, 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 no. Nature in you stands on the very verge of his confine. You should be ruled and led by some discretion that discerns your state better than you yourself.
Wait. You're old. And nature, ding, right? You're in the winter of your life and clearly not fit. So you need people who are fit to
Rule you.
Rule you.
Yeah, and lead you. And I love this, discerns your state better than you yourself. So someone who understands your condition, mm-hmm. the way, you know, your the state of your body, but also who understands your state being royalty, who understands how to be a king better than you do.
Oh,
fighting words.
Yeah.
Therefore, I pray you that to our sister you do make return. Say you have wronged her.
Ask her forgiveness? Do you but mark how this becomes the house?
Yeah, so the house meaning his body, and he's going to kneel down and mockingly show her what it would look like for him to beg forgiveness of Goneril, which is, it doesn't look good.
Right,
it's not
kings
good.
Don't do that.
No.
But he's not a king anymore.
But notice the our sister.
Yep.
She's putting in her royal pronoun there.
Dear daughter, I confess that I am old. Age is unnecessary. On my knees, I beg that you'll vouchsafe me raiment, bed, and food.
Good sir, no more. These are unsightly tricks. Return you to my sister.
Never, Regan. She hath abated me of half my train, looked black upon me, struck me with her tongue, most serpent-like upon the very heart. All the stored vengeances of heaven fall on her ungrateful top. Strike her young bones. You, taking airs with lameness. We'll stop
and then
there.
Cornwall.
Cuts
fie,
him
sir.
Up. Fie, sir. Fie.
For fuck's sake!
Yes, stop.
Yeah, stop. So these unsightly tricks, these are jokes. Oh, stop joking. Stop being so silly. And then Regan's and King Lear's like, no. Do you understand the nature of these
crimes?
Yeah, I won't.
I'm not returning because...
Yeah, I will not.
She took half my train. She looked at me with anger.
She frowned. And she was glowering.
She spoke to me in ways that were just not right.
Yeah. And so now he's calling for the vengeance of heaven, as he did when he was, you know, saying...
Cursing her.
Cursing Goneril. He was saying to heaven make her sterile and all of those things. Her ungrateful top, her head. And then you taking airs with lameness, he's starting to go on taking, meaning infectious. Like they
oh, I didn't get that. I didn't say that, right?
Slurp away your health.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's continuing, even though...
So it's on her ungrateful top. Strike her young bones. You taking airs with lameness. And Cornwall cuts him off. Fie, sir, fie.
And then he just keeps going.
You nimble lightnings, dart your blinding flames into her scornful eyes. Ding, 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 ding.
Eyes.
Infect her beauty. You fen-sucked fogs. Fa, fa, fa.
Yeah, so much F words, right? He's fucking
I think
cursing.
He's, yeah.
He's losing it. He's frothing. He's spitting.
Frothing.
He's so angry.
Drawn by the powerful sun to fall and blister.
Good. So infect her beauty. You fen-sucked. Fen-sucked is sucked up from swamps. That they believed the fog was sucked out of swamps. And then the sun comes through and draws them off and burns you. You
right.
know, like, so you're,
so you're
fooled by the fact that there might be fogs. And then the sun comes through and fries your ass. And Regan, oh, the blessed gods, so will you wish on me when the rash mood is on.
No, Regan, thou shalt never have my curse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right. Thy tender hafted nature shall not give thee o'er to harshness. Her eyes are fierce, but thine do comfort and not burn. Oh, my God.
Sure,
doesn't
yeah,
even
right.
know who he's talking
he
to.
He doesn't know. Tender hafted, really interesting. A haft is a handle, so he feels like she's more gentle when she handles him.
Nature, ding,
and this
ding,
is
ding,
your
eyes,
nature.
Ding, ding,
yeah,
ding,
right.
Ding. Yeah,
sure. And yeah, comparing, you know, your eyes are so sweet and lovely. Her eyes are awful and fierce.
Right. 'Tis not in thee to grudge my pleasures, to cut off my train, to bandy hasty words, to scant my sizes, and, in conclusion, to oppose the bolt against my coming in. So,
yeah, it's not like you to do these things. Bandy, volley words, volley terrible words with me, scant my sizes, I don't know that, right? You know, make my dick smaller, but also reduce my allowance. And oppose the bolt is just to, like, literally throw the bolt on the door and close them out. Yeah?
Yeah.
Thou better know'st the offices of nature. bond of childhood, effects of courtesy, dues of gratitude. Thy half of the kingdom hast thou not forgot, wherein I thee endowed.
Good sir, to the purpose. Yeah. So, get on with it, right? Get to the point.
Yeah.
But he's reminding her that there are ways that we do things in society. There are certain ways that your nature should prompt you to behave. There's a bond of childhood, child to father, child to parent, that shows you how you should behave. Courtesy. These are courteous actions that everybody learns. These are manners. So he's saying, if nothing else, if it's not that we're parent and child and that you love me, there are also certain rules that society has put into place about how we treat one another. And then he brings up, please tell me you haven't forgotten that I gave you fucking half my kingdom.
And she says,
and she's like, get to the point.
It. And he says, who put my man in the stocks?
But then there's a trumpet, and Cornwall. Guess who comes in?
Cornwall says, what trumpet's that?
Yeah, he's like, oh, who's here? I wonder. And Regan, I note my sisters. This approves her letter that she would soon be here. And to Oswald, who has just entered, is your lady come?
King Lear, this is a slave whose easy borrowed pride dwells in the sick grace of her he follows. Out, varlet, from my sight.
And he smacks him. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. And Cornwall.
So, Regan, I know to my sisters, I recognize it as.
Yeah.
There's certain calls of the trumpet that announce certain people. Mm-hmm. Easy borrowed pride is gotten without much justification. He doesn't have reason to be so prideful. Because he's just nothing but a toad.
Yeah.
And it comes from... It comes from the sickly grace of the person that he follows. He's slurping up her pride because she encourages his vices.
His sauciness.
Right? And then out varlet. Varlet, rascal.
Yeah. And Cornwall, what means your grace? And in comes Goneril.
In comes Goneril, but Lear has something else.
Who stalked my servant? Regan, I have good hope thou didst not know on't. Who comes here? Oh, heavens! If you do love old men, if your sweet sway allow obedience, if yourselves are old, make it your cause. Send down and take my part.
Yeah, so he's praying to the heavens,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Please, if your sweet sway, if your gentle power... allow obedience, believes in obedience. If the rules that I just spoke of are something that heaven has decreed, then take up my cause, right? Mm-hmm. Please, if you have any old people up there and you know what this is like,
send them down.
Send the angels.
Right. Send the cavalry.
Tell me.
to take up my you know,
cause.
To stand behind me.
Yeah.
Right.
And then he looks at Goneril.
Art not ashamed to look upon this beard? Oh, Regan, will you take her by the hand? Because obviously...
They've taken hands. Shaking hands or holding hands.
Yeah.
Right? And, in solidarity.
Yeah. And Goneril, why not by the hand, sir? How have I offended? All's not offense that indiscretion finds and dotage terms so.
Yeah, so you might think it's offense because you're old, dotage, and indiscreet, meaning you formed your opinions in the wrong way.
And Lear, oh, sides, you are too rough.
Tough. So they're not bursting somehow, the sides of his body.
I see.
He's like, why isn't my heart bursting through my chest now? I'm so upset.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, sides, you are too tough. Will you yet hold... How came my man in the stocks?
Cornwall, I set him there, sir, but his own disorders deserved much less advancement. You! Did you?
Yeah, so he's shocked. What?
Yeah.
It's true, and Kent said so, and he's like, Regan. I pray you, father, being weak, seem so.
Whoa.
Dang.
You are no longer king, bitch.
Yeah.
You're no longer
king. Since you're weak, why don't you act like it?
Yeah. You got no power.
You got no power. So remember that you don't.
Yeah.
And fucking back off. If till the expiration of your month you will return and sojourn with my sister, dismissing half your train, come then to me. I am now from home and out of that provision, which shall be needful for your entertainment.
So if you do what you're meant to do, go back
like
to
a
Goneril's
good boy.
Like a good boy with only half your nights. Then when you're done at her house,
with
when the month is over, mm-hmm. you can come to me and I'll accept you. But I can't do it now because I'm not home.
I'm not home and I don't have things that are right for hosting you, your entertainment.
Right. And Lear, return to her? And 50 men dismissed? No. Rather, I abjure all roofs and choose to wage against the enmity of the air.
Yeah, beautiful. I love roofs, choose. Ooh, ooh, ooh. No, I would rather abjure is reject. Mm-hmm. Reject all roofs. And I'm going to struggle with the elements.
Yeah,
right. Wage is struggle. That's a lot of foreshadowing right
yes,
here
it is.
As to what's happening next.
To be a comrade with the wolf and owl. Necessity's sharp pinch. Return with her? With hot-blooded France that dowerless took our youngest born. I could as well be brought to knee his throne and squire-like pension beg to keep base life afoot. Return with her? Persuade me rather to be slave and sumpter to this detested groom.
Oswald, yeah, obviously, yeah. Now he's remembering France, hot-blooded, is passionate. I would just as soon kneel to that passionate king of France and beg him to take me in, and beg Cordelia to take mm-hmm. me in, rather than go back to Goneril.
Yep. And this.
And rather than go back to Goneril, I would even be a slave and sumpter as a pack horse for this fucker.
Right to Oswald, and. Goneril, shared line.
Shared line cuts him off.
At your choice, sir.
Yeah, sure. Okay. You choose.
And King Lear, I prithee, daughter, do not make me mad. I will not trouble thee, my child. Farewell. We'll no more meet, no more see one another. But yet, thou art my flesh, my blood, my daughter. Or rather a disease that's in my flesh, which I must needs call mine. Thou art a boil, a plague sore, or embossed carbuncle in my corrupted blood. But I'll not chide thee. Let shame come when it will. I do not call it. I do not bid the thunder-bearer shoot, nor tell tales of thee to high-judging Jove. Mend when thou canst. Be better at thy leisure. I can be patient. I can stay with Regan. I and my 100 knights.
Not altogether so.
No.
Actually, no. So, don't make me mad. Interesting.
Mad.
Don't make me crazy.
Yeah.
Mad, angry, but also mad, crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you and I don't have to see each other ever again. So this is the second daughter that he's going to say now. We don't need to be family anymore. How many of these family members do you have? Your boil a plague sore, big buzzword there. Yikes, yikes, yikes. Too much plague all around London for him to be slinging that word around without any consequence. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I love sore or, a plague sore or at Moscow. He's starting to sort of stutter.
Mm.
You know, you hear it? He's
yeah.
starting to like, I don't know what to say, you know? Embossed carbuncle is a swollen, inflamed tumor-like sort of thing. So he's like, you're just a disease
mm-hmm.
in my blood. But I will not, I don't need to call shame down upon you. Shame will come to you. I do not bid the thunder bear shoot. I don't ask Jupiter to shoot you.
Although
He did.
Twice.
But he's like, I won't. I'm not gonna tell the gods how terrible you've been to me. I will be patient. Oh yeah? Really? I don't know. And then Regan's going to bring him right to the door of reality now. Not altogether so. I look not for you yet, nor am provided for your fit welcome. Give ear, sir, to my sister. For those that mingle reason with your passion must be content to think you old. And so, but she knows what she does.
Is this well spoken?
I dare vouch it, sir. What, 50 followers? Is it not well? What should you need of more? So, just going back, those that mingle reason with your passion, the people that bring reason to bear upon your actions will understand that Goneril is behaving reasonably. Mm-hmm. Because you're just old and obviously going off the deep end. And so she's like, he says, well spoken. Are you speaking truth? Are you really saying this to me?
Yeah.
And he's like, and she's like, yeah, I swear I am. What should you need of more? Yea, or so many, sith that both charge and danger speak against so great a number. How in one house should many people under two commands hold amity? 'Tis hard, almost impossible.
Wow. So she's saying we're in charge, but they report to you, and that's a problem, because who are they actually going to serve?
Right, yeah. So both charge and danger, there's an expense to all of this, mm-hmm. and there's also a risk.
Right.
Because you have people who are loyal to two different people and all under the same roof.
Mm-hmm. That's almost cool, impossible to
right?
make that
almost
work.
Almost impossible to make that work.
And
so this is all reasonable argument. Right?
Yes, but here goes Goneril. Yep. Here goes Goneril. She is now
on revenge track.
Yeah. She's everything that she had in her has broken.
Yeah.
And she's going for the jugular.
Yeah.
Why might not you, my lord, receive attendance from those that she calls servants, or from mine?
Why not, my lord? If then they chance to slack you, we could control them. If you will come to me, for now I spy a danger, I entreat you to bring but 25. To no more will I give place or notice.
3 beats of silence.
Yeah.
And he looks at
He's
both of them.
He's stunned.
Yeah. He looks at both of them. I gave you all.
And in good time you gave it. And it was about fucking time.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a plus one. She shuts him down, and she also is, like, starting to get really passionate. And so all of them are. The next 4 lines are plus one, so things are heating up here.
Yeah. Made you my guardians, my depositaries, but kept a reservation to be followed with such a number. What, must I come to you with 25? Regan, you said you so?
And speak again, my lord, no more with me.
Those wicked creatures yet do look well favored when others are more wicked. Not being the worst stands in some rank of praise. And he turns to Goneril. I'll go with thee. Thy 50 yet doth double 25, and thou art twice her love.
Wow. How
he's still playing
compromising
this...
his ideas now.
And he's still playing the game, though.
Yeah.
He still says...
It's about numbers.
And it's about... That's right.
What
so
I
you're
mean.
Showing me you love me better than she does.
Because 50 is bigger than 25. It's so lame. And he's really just hanging on to it.
So those wicked creatures yet do look well-favored when others are more wicked. Is he talking about Cordelia there?
He's talking about Goneril here.
Oh, because Regan is
She's
worse.
She's now looking better because Regan is worse, he's realizing.
Yeah.
And stands in some rank, not being the worst, stands in some rank of praise. So it merits some kind of praise, not being the worst one.
Right. And Goneril, hear me, my lord. What need you 25, 10, or 5 to follow in a house where twice so many have a command to tend you?
What need one?
So, yeah, right. Right?
Just cut down to 0.
So he says, and thou art twice her love, and she
cuts him off.
Cuts him off. Hear me,
yeah,
my lord.
Listen to me.
You don't need 25. You don't need 10. You don't need 5, because I have servants who I've commanded to take care of you.
Yeah. But he absolutely... If Oswald is any example, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Right?
And Regan?
What need one?
You don't even need one.
Now, this next speech starts with O. We talked about the O. And he's like, it's dawning on him. And he's like, oh, my God. Fucking fuck me. But we're also going to do an exercise at the end of this speech, which we do from time to time in different plays, which is to look at the line ending words, because we've talked about iambic pentameter being 5 double beats to a line. You speak those five double beats, you take your next breath, and then you speak the next 5 double beats and you take your next breath. Each line is meant to be said on one breath. If you pay attention to that format, doesn't matter if you do it in performance, but you must do it in studying the play, you will learn so much about what this character intends and what Shakespeare really meant by the speech, because those final words kind of hang in the air there as you're taking your little sip of breath, and it gives you a blueprint for the speech. It gives you the essence of the speech, and so we're going to hear that as soon as Aaron's finished the speech.
I hope I can do this one.
Okay. You do it.
Here we go. Oh, reason not the need. Our basest beggars are in the poorest thing superfluous. Allow not nature more than nature needs. Man's life's as cheap as beasts. Thou art a lady. If only to go warm were gorgeous. Why, nature needs not what thou gorgeous wearest. Oh, that's hard to say.
Yeah.
Gorgeous wearest. He's spitting there.
Yeah.
Gorgeous wearest.
Right, but notice he says the word gorgeous twice to her. He's like, you're my beautiful girl.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you actually needed those clothes to make you better than you are, then, you know, they don't even keep you warm. It's not like an actual need. Those clothes are a need that you chose.
Only to go warm were gorgeous.
Yeah.
Why, nature needs not what... Nature needs not what thou gorgeous wearest.
Yeah, this is not a natural, it's not the reasonable idea of clothes. You're wearing clothes that you love,
mm-hmm.
that make you look beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about practicality, right? So he's arguing practicality versus my heart, what mm-hmm. I want in my heart, and you're not giving me. And what he wants in his heart is just love and respect.
Right, but
right?
He doesn't know how to ask for it appropriately.
Yeah, he's not asking for it, right? And they're definitely not giving it to them.
Yeah, well,
right?
They might have. I mean, I don't know about Regan, but Goneril might have if he had treated her differently all along.
Yeah.
You know, he might have.
So he starts by saying the, our basest beggars, even small... poor people have small things that they have that they don't actually need for their survival, but they want them because it makes them feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And allow nature. We've got our buzzword there, right? Our theme word. If you don't give the human being, the human nature, more than only the thing it needs, then we might as well be animals. Only food and you know, shelter. That's it.
Yeah. Why nature needs not what thou gorgeous wearest, which scarcely keeps thee warm, but for true need. You heavens, give me that patience I need. You see me here, you gods, a poor old man, as full of grief as age, wretched in both. If it be you that stirs these daughters' hearts against their father, fool me not so much. To bear it tamely, touch me with noble anger, and let not women's weapons water drops. Oof. Let not women's weapons water drops stain my man's cheeks. No, you unnatural hags!
Ooh, yeah. So now he's going to get to something difficult. But I think, but for true need. Now he's like, what do I really need right now? And he's patience. I wish I could just take a moment to think and mm-hmm. to be calm about this. And so he's looking up to the heavens, and he admits he's a poor old man. That's interesting.
As full of grief as age, I've got both in spades, grief yeah. and mm-hmm. age.
And if you're doing this to me, don't make me stupid enough to bear it calmly, tamely, mm-hmm. like a tame. Tame is flopped over like a limp dick. Righteous anger. I want some, and not women's weapons. Women use tears for their weapons. Mm-hmm. Not his daughters, but other women.
Or so he thinks.
Yeah. And then, no, you unnatural hags. Mm. Unnatural, you bastards, hags, witches. You're welcome, King James.
I will have such revenges on you both that all the world shall... I will do such things. What they are yet I know not, but they shall be the terrors of the earth. You think I'll weep? No, I'll not weep. I have full cause of weeping, but this heart shall break into 100,000 flaws, or ere I'll weep. Oh, fool, I shall go mad.
And out he goes, outside the castle, into the storm, which has started to come up.
Is Lear the storm? Is the storm Lear?
Yes, Lear's
the storm. Has he conjured the storm?
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right, so fascinating here. He's got these interrupted sentences, right, which Aaron did so well. The world shall. I will do such things. He doesn't even know. Incredible. But they shall be. And if you play that line ending like that and you take your breath there, it's because he doesn't know what he can do. Mm-hmm. He's completely impotent, completely powerless. And they shall be the terrors of the earth. Something really bad. Mm-hmm. And then he's crying. I think he says, no, I'll not weep, but he's got to be crying because he's got, you think I'll weep. Weeping, this mm-hmm. heart shall break. So he's weeping, and he doesn't want to be weeping in front of them, so he goes tearing out. So let's try the line endings and see if we learn something else, too, okay? So it's just the last word you want to read through and see what does that blueprint tell us.
Beggars, superfluous needs. Lady, gorgeous, wearest, need. Patience.
Oh, wait. Heavens, give me that patience. No,
I need, right. So, need, man, both hearts, much anger, drops, hags, both things, be, weep, weeping, flaws, mad.
Ooh. What'd you hear?
I don't know. I was trying so hard to get the word right.
Like, things be. That's really, both of those are like, those are such lame line endings, right? It's nothing, yeah? Because
much
he's feeling lame.
Anger.
Much anger was great, yeah?
Hearts, much anger.
Drops, hags. Wonderful. So we have need. He's trying to work it out in his head. Needs, lady. Gorgeous, wearest, gorgeous. Needs. And then man, both hearts.
Anger. Hags.
Yeah, it's all over the place, kind of.
Yeah.
Isn't it? And then we've got weep and weeping. Action, and then it's present action right now. That's what makes me think he's crying. Yeah.
And Cornwall, let us withdraw. 'Twill be a storm.
This house is little. The old man and his people cannot be well bestowed.
So Cornwall's like, well, let's go to bed.
It's going to rain.
Right. Lear storms off into the night, and Cornwall's like, yeah, let's go to bed. And Regan's like, we don't have enough room for all these people.
We don't have enough room for them.
And Goneril, still being Goneril, even though she is in revenge mode. 'Tis his own blame hath put himself from rest, and must needs taste his folly. Right? So she's like, oh, he'll learn his lesson being out in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
He'll figure it out. He'll come back. Where is my lord of Gloucester? Cornwall followed the old man forth. Oh, he has returned.
Right, so now Regan and Cornwall are both calling him just the old man.
Yep.
And notice what Gloucester comes in with. Gloucester. The king is in high rage.
Cornwall. Whither is he going?
He calls to horse, but will I know not whither.
Cornwall. 'Tis best to give him way. He leads himself.
Yeah, so let him act however he wants to. This is amazing. He leads himself. He leads pretty much only himself.
Himself, right.
He has nobody left except he's got the fool and Kent.
Yep. And Goneril, my lord, entreat him by no means to stay.
Alack, the night comes on, and the high winds do sorely ruffle. For many miles about, there's scarce a bush. Oh, sir, to willful men, the injuries that they themselves procure must be their schoolmasters. Shut up your doors. He is attended with a desperate train, and what they may incense him to, being apt to have his ear abused, wisdom bids fear.
So Gloucester's like, there's no place for him to hide, and it's a bad storm, and Regan shut him down.
Yeah, nope. Oh, sir. Right? There's a good O. What might that O be about?
Oh, no.
Like, oh, listen up.
He is not coming in here.
Yeah. The injuries they themselves, the injuries that they bring upon themselves, these people with, you know, who just want to act the way they want and they won't listen to reason, must be their school, that must teach them a lesson. Mm. And these people who follow him normally, habitually abuse his ear, meaning
rile him up,
teach him bad things, give him terrible advice. So we should be worried and nervous about what they might talk him into doing. So we better shut the door.
Yep.
So they can't come in.
And Cornwall, shut up your doors, my lord. 'Tis a wild night. My Regan counsels well. Come out of the storm.
I love that storm is the last word here, because you should have a big, nice thunderclap right there.
Ka-chung!
Cornwall has the last word. He's like, nope, we're going inside, and nobody gives shelter to the king, the mad old man.
The old man.
Oh, boy. Next up, the storm.
The storm.
Don't do. I'm going to give a nice shout-out, actually, to a great show, and it's so old, but if you guys ever have the chance, or you can rent the DVDs or
DVDs.
There's a wonderful show called Slings and Arrows, and it's about a Shakespeare Theater Company, and each season is a different play, and the last season is Lear, and they do wonderful exploration of the play itself, too, so have a listen. That's a great show.
Also, I'm going to do some little plugs here. Tell your friends or people that are teachers or people that like Shakespeare or people that for some reason have to study Shakespeare and don't know anything about it. Tell them about this podcast.
Yeah.
Share it on your social media.
Please.
Tell people. And for goodness sake, go see our TikTok.
Yes, our TikTok is ridiculous and also gives you interesting little tidbit ideas.
Yeah, paper ideas and then also just dirty words.
Dirty words.
A lot of dirty words.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you couldn't get enough here, you know.
Well, no, I mean, they're short snippets of dirty words.
On brand.
On brand. Tis on brand.
As my daughter said when she saw the first one, she's like, that's quality content right there.
All right. Up next, the storm.
The storm.
The storm. And in the meantime, I'm Marin.
And I'm Diana.
And this was, Regan telling her daddy to fuck off.
Yeah, fuck off, Leah. Ciao.
For additional fun shit from Fuck Shakespeare, you can head to our website at fckshakespeare.com.
Or find us on Instagram at fckshakespeare.
If you are enjoying this podcast,
you could support us for as little as 99 cents per month. Just click the support button on the page on Spotify or Anchor.
Tell your friends.